Blog Talk Radio.
From Spook Show. I'm here to talk to you today about the wilder side of horror, and I'm talking about Gene Wilder, who passed earlier this week. Sad to lose yet another great entertainer. We've lost many in the last few years. I guess that's maybe a sign I'm just getting old. Gene Wilder, gosh, I've seen him in movies and television my entire life. Actually, the very first time I remember seeing Gene Wilder in a film was in the original Bonnie and Clyde in 1967, you know, the Warren Beatty version. He plays Eugene Grizzard, a rather frightened undertaker who gets caught up with Bonnie and Clyde, and I believe he has to drive for them a while. Very young in that film, but doing some research, I've discovered that was certainly not his first appearance in entertainment. He was in a lot of television shows in the early 60s. He was in the Play of the Week in 1961, a recurring character a couple of times in the Armstrong Circle Theater. He played a character named Usel. Was in The Defenders in 62, and also in 1962 he was in the DuPont Show of the Week, playing various characters. A reporter named Wilson, and another fellow named Mueller in a couple of different episodes. Didn't really appear much until 1966 in the movie Death of a Salesman. He plays Bernard. But then he finally got a break and played in Bonnie and Clyde. Really good appearance there. Now, later that year, he would meet someone who would impact him for probably the rest of his career. While making the original version of The Producers, with which he got to work with Zero Mostel, he also got to meet a very, very interesting character who would, again, impact his character, his entertainment life for some time. He plays Leo Bloom in the film, and it's a very funny film. You've got to see The Producers if you haven't already. It's the movie where Zero and Gene are trying to make a flop, deliberately make a flop, with productions such as Springtime for Hitler, and it actually backfires and becomes successful. neat premise for a film. He had met the wife of Mel Brooks during the filming of this movie. And, again, things would just never be the same. It's funny, too, because Gene Wilder's, some of his early films were failures in the box office but became cult classics. Much like The Producers, I think one of his most memorable characters, Willy Wonka, in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, just did not do well at the box office. Not at all. They became cult classics thanks to television and probably second runs in the theaters, I would imagine. Now, he was nominated for a Best Supporting Actor Oscar in The Producers, but he lost to Jack Albertson, who won for The Subject Was Roses. They would later co-star together, of course, in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Jack Albertson was Grandpa Joe, Charlie's escort through the chocolate factory. And what an iconic movie Willy Wonka was. I think that's where we get more into the fantasy slash horror aspect of our tribute today. It's a favorite film for people my age, people much younger than me. It is the version. I love Johnny Depp. I have to say I was amused by the remake, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But, no, the original 1971 version, it's emblazoned in my psyche. I don't think that's a movie that should have been remade. And Gene Wilder felt the same. Wouldn't you agree, listeners? Say yes, or say something in the chat. David Binkley, Evil Annie Repert are with us. Movie Man was here. I think he checked out for a minute. Maybe he's going to go get some of that wonderful popcorn. Would you not agree that Willy Wonka is the version? Gene Wilder himself, he didn't say anything really negative. I think he was holding back. When asked about it, he just was like, well, why? And I think he had a great deal of respect for Johnny Depp and didn't want to say anything negative. He did come out and say he wasn't crazy about Tim Burton's movies, in particularly that one, before he passed. But he did not care for the remake any more than I think the rest of us. It was cute, I don't know. Just the original songs, the character himself. Willy Wonka was neat. From the very first time you see him coming out of the factory limping, that was Gene Wilder's call, by the way. He insisted on this when they made the movie. He said, I think it would be best for this character come out as if he was crippled and trick and surprise everyone, and that led to the wonderment. He was an oddball character along the way. He was definitely full of fancy, but I liked in the film, and it was kind of a somewhat of a horror aspect. At the very end, he scared the living heck out of Charlie by saying, no, you lose, you messed up in the bubble factory, and that's, where they made the fizzy pop, and because they had wandered away and did something they weren't supposed to do, he was made to think you don't get the prize, even though you're the last survivor, so to speak. And of course, that turned out to be nonsense. He was testing Charlie's honesty to make sure he wasn't giving up the everlasting gobstopper to the bad guy. So that was kind of neat. It was a neat wrinkle. A good, fanciful film, and Gene Wilder was great in it. And, of course, again, after meeting Anne Bancroft, who was only dating Mel Brooks in the 60s, they established a relationship that would lead to so many good roles, including Blazing Saddles. Boy, was that a fun film. There's so many quotes from that film that are great. Some of them I can't say or won't say anyway on radio. I'm sure I can get away with it here, but I'm not going to do it. I believe it's the first film I can remember where flatulence was portrayed openly in Blazing Saddles. It's just a sign of how much guts Mel Brooks had, and he must have really, really, really liked Gene Wilder to use him and work with him so frequently. Now, it was a surprise to me several years ago to discover that Young Frankenstein, which came out the same year as Blazing Saddles, 1974, great year for me. I was 14 years old. Got to see both films in the theater, and being exposed to Mel Brooks' wildness was an eye-opener. But I thought that because he directed it, that Young Frankenstein was all Mel Brooks' idea. Oh, no, no, no. This was Gene Wilder's baby. He had to have been a huge fan of the Universal films because there was so much in Young Frankenstein that's so reminiscent of the old Universal classics, including the usage of properties, you know, the props. Many of them were still in the Universal lot from the original 1930s movies and were reused, including the device that took the monster up to the top of the laboratory for the storm to be charged up by lightning. And just the way the story was constructed, there's so many tips of the hat to the original films. Kenneth Mars's character, for example, very good spoof of the inspector from Son of Frankenstein, the scene where they're throwing darts in a comical way. There was a dart-throwing scene in Son of Frankenstein that was done the same way. As I ramble on here, I'm going to pick up the phone. I would bet that calling Erie House Radio right now, it's someone from Northeast Ohio. Welcome to Erie House.
And you would win that bet.
Mr. David Binkley from...
The Weirdest Really Bad Movie.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? What a wonderful topic is as he passed this week. It just so many... Not that he did a lot, but like almost every film that he did, just leaves fond memories, you know?
Outside yeah, they're, the last, very...
Last one he did with Richard Pryor, I'd have to say that he was just... he himself was just so wonderful.
Yeah.
Because what he didn't even do, like,
how...
30 films or something like that was all?
Yeah. You know, I think he was one of those types of actors that did what he wanted to do and didn't feel pressured to just keep putting himself out there. And the love for what he did shows is when you called, I was discussing the aspect of how Young Frankenstein was so not just a spoof, but I think it was a loving spoof of the original Universal films. You know, the obvious stuff like, you know, making Madeline Kahn's hair look like Bride of Frankenstein. but, you know, I was talking about being...
Marty Feldman being Igor.
Oh, he had great lines. He had great lines.
You know what's strange is that was the one time that really that... he and Mel really sat down and worked on a script together, and they never did that again after this movie.
No. And that's a shame because it seemed like a great pairing, the way they put everything together. One of my Marty Feldman had some great lines in there, or some great lines were written around him. There was one scene where they were looking through the for a light switch in the laboratory, and Igor says, you know, he says, there's a switch, but I'm not going to touch it. And Gene Wilder, Gene Wilder says he's not going to touch it. And Marty Feldman, Igor, throws a switch. And Gene Wilder goes, damn your eyes. And they zoom in on Marty Feldman. He goes, too light.
Yeah, and you know what? You talked a little bit earlier about the producers. Of course, that one was written by Mel Brooks. But there was a part in there that Gene Wilder wrote. In the trial scene at the end, Gene Wilder's character was just supposed to stand there. Leon Bloom was supposed to stand there and say nothing. That whole big speech at the end about how he did so much for him and brought him out and things like that, that was something because he felt that his job was not just to sit there and let it happen during the trial. And so Mel said, well, we'll figure out what you think you should say there. And he did. And from what I understand, that was done in one take when he did that speech.
Yeah.
But all the rest of it was Brooks. But that was his but besides his outstanding acting, and how you could do anything opposite a zany Zero Mostel that he did,
A lot of people said Zero was very, very hard to work with. And again, just to show you the kind of a class act Gene Wilder was, he never had anything bad to say. He said that, he certainly was an opinionated fellow, but he never said anything negative that I could find. I think he had the respect of a lot of the people that made the films, like Mel Brooks, because just like he insisted on his character Willy Wonka coming out to do the stunt as if he needed the cane, and as you mentioned, the ending of The Producers, he must have had a lot of respect from filmmakers because he seemed to have a lot of input in the films.
From what I understand, he made this opening entrance at Willy Wonka conditional to him even taking the role.
Yes.
If he was not allowed to do that, he would not do the film.
Mm-hmm.
And his reasoning for that is if he came out and fell down and did a flip and came up standing, as he did, then nobody would know what to expect throughout the rest of the movie by his character.
Yes, yes. And he pulled it off so well because, again, that character was very quirky and surprising. He would have soft moments. He would have cruel moments.
You're right. I saw some things that he said about how he really did not care for the remake, but you're right. He never said anything negative about Johnny Depp or any of the actors in it. I can't believe there are some things with Tim Burton's I really like, and there's some things with Tim Burton's I'm not crazy about either.
You either like them or you don't, it seems.
Well, there were some things I have enjoyed of Tim Burton's. But there are some things when he just tries to remake things under his, quote-unquote, his own vision. That's when I usually turn against the Tim Burton.
I know. Boy, we're gonna miss Gene Wilder. And surprisingly, did you know that he played a man wrongly committed of committing crimes in 5 different movies?
No, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, why are we picking on Gene? Well, there was a movie called See No Evil, Hear No Evil, made in 1989.
Right.
Hanky Panky, of course, Stir Crazy.
Stir Crazy, yeah. Oh, what a great film.
Yeah.
I guess Gene did a lot of covering for Richard Pryor in that one because Richard was always late because he was always a little busy with a concoction beforehand. But more than one occasion, Sidney Poitier who was directing that film, wanted to dismiss Richard Pryor, but Gene kept working around it.
You kind of stole my thunder there because it was also pointed out that many people were surprised that Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder, because they had appeared in a handful of successful films together, that they weren't really good friends because they could play off each other so well. But, Gene kept his distance because of Richard Pryor was at the height, I think, of his drug use during that period.
Yeah,
and,
you're right. But they did.
They felt
a connection. I guess when they filmed their first scene, what was it? Silver Streak was their first film. Right? When they finished a scene that was done, they both broke into a song at the same time and sang it. And at that point, I guess Gene felt a very strong connection, at least, acting-wise, with Richard Pryor that he didn't feel with any other actor before or after that.
Yeah,
so,
it's a testament to his professionalism again.
Yeah,
that he could work with someone who probably not somebody he wanted to hang around with after hours, but they played each other so well in those films. Now the fifth movie where he was accused of committing a crime is, I've mentioned this before on this show, it's not a horror related film, it's something of a western and highly underrated, in my opinion. It's so well done. When I first saw it on television, this was probably about 10, 15 years ago, I thought for sure this has to be a Mel Brooks movie because a lot of his a lot of the actors that he used appeared in it. It was called The Frisco Kid with Harrison Ford. If you've never seen it, David, you got to check that movie out.
I have not.
It starts out briefly in Poland. Gene plays a rabbi who is to go to San Francisco during the 1800s, probably around the 1860s, 1880s, somewhere around there, and start up a synagogue. And he had an arranged marriage with somebody out there, a wealthy family out there, you know, wanted to bring this rabbi. So he goes first to Philadelphia, you know, by boat from Europe, and he's accused of committing a crime there, and he's also mugged and beaten up by some rowdies, but later saved by Harrison Ford. And the bulk of the movie is their adventures going across the country to San Francisco together. Harrison Ford is somewhat of a bank robber, and that's where Gene Wilder is sort of thought of as his helper, and he's kind of just kind of along for the ride. And it's very, very funny to hear. I'm sure it was quite easy for Gene to do the Yiddish accent throughout the film. And there's some great moments in it, but there's actors like Leo Fuchs and others that you'd see in a million Mel Brooks films. Just a great, highly underrated film. Very entertaining. if you
have to put
David,
that on my to-do list.
Yeah, it's from 1979. Just Val Bisaglia, I don't know if you know who he is. He appeared in a lot of episodes of All in the Family. You know, very Italian looking. He plays an Indian chief in the film.
Okay.
Very, very good roles there. Leo Fuchs plays the chief rabbi. George DeCenzo, you'd know him. it's a great cast of supporting characters in the film, and a very, very good. there's even a scene where Gene meets an Amish family, and they're very similarly dressed. They think he's one of them. and they think he's from some strange sect of Amish, but they did, you know, have an understanding and a coming together. David, if you don't mind, we have yet another caller. Caller, thanks for they just disappeared. Darn it. Oh well. I was hoping someone would join in the fun as we
maybe they just call right back.
Yeah. Outside of Young Frankenstein, another really good film, comic horror film that Gene Wilder appeared in was Haunted Honeymoon with his third wife, Gilda Radner.
Yeah.
And that's a great hoot to watch. Anything with Dom DeLuise, you know it's going to get a little crazy.
Yeah, Dom didn't get to do a whole lot of movies, but he was more, I think, on television than he did was in movies. But that's okay when you give him a chance to shine. He can take it over.
Yeah, as he did in Mel Brooks's History of the World, a number of movies he did with Burt Reynolds. He just lets loose. The outtakes from all of those films are just amazing. That's amazing they got anything done because of all the laughter and good times.
Yeah.
Now, Gene Wilder was born Jerome Silberman. He was born in Milwaukee, and he chose the name Gene Wilder. In part, there was a writer named Wilder, Thornton Wilder. He liked the play Our Town.
Right,
and
right.
He stated later that he unknowingly chose the first name Gene because his mother's first name was Gene. She was sick for throughout most of his childhood, and he spent a lot of his time entertaining her to keep her happy and her spirits up. So he said later that he subconsciously chose the name because he loved her so much and in honor of her. And I wonder if those experiences didn't lead to him wanting to act and entertain and make people laugh.
Well, I did not realize that. Of all the things that,
yeah,
so wonderful, a chance to see so many people come out and give tributes in many ways to him over the last week. And you just don't always get to see all the stuff that goes on. And what a shame when someone like that is affected by the complications from Alzheimer's. You know, someone who's so brilliant to be affected with that disease.
Yeah, I kind of figured something was up because he's been awful quiet for the last several years. You just didn't hear much of him, although he did state that he was into writing, that he really wasn't pursuing a lot of acting or movie work. He wanted to do a lot of writing.
One thing I saw on the internet, again, over the last week, trying to look at as many things about him as possible, he did a bit with Robert Osborne on stage, an interview, and this was from 2, at the most 3 years ago. And even at that time, although you could tell he had recall, he was very deliberate in his responses and even his wording was really kind of slow. And because when Robert Osborne would come back and speak like this in a normal pace, you could really see how labored Gene was in coming up with the words he wanted. And if I didn't know what he was going through, and at that time he said, I think it kind of ended with, are you coming back to acting? He said, if I get thrown a lot of scripts, and if there's anything I like, I would take, but I'm really enjoying writing books. And he had 2 at the time, and a third one that was written that was ready to be published, and he was working on another one at that time. That was just a couple, 3 years ago.
Looks like we got our caller back. Hi, caller. Thanks for calling Erie House Radio.
Hey.
Hello.
The Boogeyman. Hello.
The Boogeyman.
The Movie Man.
Hello.
I was going to have to jump under my bed because it was the Boogeyman.
I hate the Movie Man. You're just in time to help us wrap things up as we talk. But you can stick around, of course, for the bonus time that comes up recorded but not live portion of the show. Stick around for that. Thanks for calling on our tribute to Gene Wilder.
Thank you.
Would you like to add something that maybe we haven't discussed yet? Or?
Well, I finally got Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory last weekend on Blu-ray, and Gene Wilder died like the day after I watched it, and it was kind of like sad,
So his death was your fault?
Excuse me?
His death was your fault?
No.
I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
It's weird when things like that happen, though, and it does. It affects you in a personal way, especially when you have a love for an old film like that. I can imagine how you must have felt, Movie Man.
Yeah. And what was stranger was that the Young Frankenstein shirt I bought at Boy Hound Weekend this past March, I was wearing that whenever I found out that Gene Wilder died.
Yeah, I think a lot of us were very, very disappointed. Well, we got more to talk to you about in the bonus time that's coming up shortly. I want to remind everyone to watch Erie House Television tonight. There's some pretty cool stuff on, including, Dave, you want to tell them?
Oh, we got King of the Zombies, and we host that from Zombie John's Killer Deals. Really is a place. And we have a zombie car salesman and everything.
Yep. And that comes on tonight at
7:30.
Shortly after we're done here, I want to thank everyone for listening live. Evil Annie Ruppert, the movie man, David Binkley, Fogsbane. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Eerie House. I love that song. The original Onion. That's Onions in Space. It starts off so weird and ethereal and electronic. It's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish my timing was a little better, but bad work does run in my family, you know. Really bad work.
How's that? What kind of bad work are you referring to?
Well, my whole family. Like, it goes back two generations. Let me explain.
But what about your grandfather's work, sir?
My grandfather's work was doo-doo!
Yeah, you did miss that, didn't you?
Yeah.
I called and screwed up your timing. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Our conversation was engaging, and there's just so much to say about Gene. You know, a half an hour is never really enough.
Is Movie Man still there?
Oh, yeah, Movie Man's with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling in. Did you call in earlier and get disconnected?
No. That wasn't me. I decided to call in after somebody said, well, that caller hung up.
Yeah, I think they did. It was one of those mystery calls. Like, sometimes I'll get these, and it's like it sort of has caller ID. Like, I can see your guys' phone numbers. And for our listeners, that's – no, I'm kidding. But sometimes it I don't know if they have a caller ID block, but it'll come up as all ones.
It was a sales call.
Like, you know, when Ormsby host calls here, it's all ones. That must be because it's coming from Transylvania. I don't know. Maybe international.
Yeah.
It could be. So the movie man, you work in a theater, correct?
No, I don't. I have friends that run a movie theater back home in Decatur, Illinois.
Have you gotten to see Willy Wonka in a theater? I have never seen it in a movie theater.
But if you want to go see Willy Wonka in a movie theater, AMC Theaters is having until Thursday showings of Willy Wonka and Blazing Saddles.
Ooh, cool.
And tickets are only $5 each.
Wow. That is not bad. And
can you imagine
going to the movie?
I didn't see it, but can you imagine seeing Willy Wonka, all that color and all those things on the big screen?
That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I have never seen it in a theater. I've only seen it on television. Not to interrupt, but I got to spring this. This is the first time I'm going to announce it publicly. Speaking of seeing movies live for $5, okay, if you're in Northeast Ohio, which I know you're not the movie man, so this would be a haul for you, but for those of you listening in the archives, if you're from Northeast Ohio, you can see myself, David Binkley, and other cast members of Weirdness Really Bad Movie live on stage at the historic Lorraine Palace Theater. Now, they're going to start running 6 weeks of scary starting September Friday, September 23rd. So one classic 80s horror movie, 70s and 80s horror movies, one each weekend. Starting Friday, September 23rd, they're going to do the musical version of Little Shop of Horrors. Later in their venue, all the way every weekend until Halloween, they're going to have, get ready for this, they're going to have the 80s version of Poltergeist, the 80s version of The Thing, the great comic horror film American Werewolf in London, the original 1970s version of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then they're going to wind things up with a huge Halloween party run by, hosted in large part by Fairweather, which was a very popular band when I was a youth in the 70s here. They're going to have a live musical stage, a big costume party, and that's going to be fantastic. And that's all at the Lorraine Palace Theater in Lorraine, Ohio, just west of Cleveland. So each event, except for the party, that's a little more hefty. That's like I think it's $20 to get in for that, because they got a lot of crazy events, including you know, a brief appearance by myself. But $5 for these movies, plus they will be run like live spook shows. There's going to be stage acts by Weirdness Really Bad, by myself, and I believe Tar and Feather are coming down too. So that is going to be fun. So there, we sprung it on you.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this all happens. It sounds like a tremendous amount of fun, along with a good movie to go with it.
So am I. There's a lot of prep work to do yet, but they do a good job down there. They got a great staff. Last year went well, and they wanted to liven things up, and I was very, very honored to be asked to MC these events. So I will be creating some stuff for Facebook for people to get excited and hopefully come on down there if you're local or you're coming in from out of town. There's a gentleman that might be coming from Indiana to attend that I've been talking to. He is going to be the newest horror host. His name is Slash, and he's a werewolf character. Currently working on his very first show that will premiere on Eerie House Television.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
And Movie Man, great. I want to thank you for your support, not only of this radio show, but for Eerie House Television. Thanks for coming in and watching and having a good time with us in the chat and enjoying the films.
You're welcome.
And I was kind of looking at your numbers. You had a nice response there last night, Dale.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad for a first night. What surprised me more is throughout most of the day, it's been pretty steady. It's not like, you know, people are falling out of the rafters, but there are people watching. I was very, very pleased that the Saturday morning thing went pretty well, too, with the cartoons and the Abbott and Costello movie, a couple Stooges episodes.
Yeah, I did miss the cartoons, but I'll try to get them next week.
And something else you missed. A lot of people were really, really surprised. I sprung in as a little feature to fill in a little gap there in time. A really nice appearance by the Three Stooges on the Danny Thomas show from 1965, and one of the few color appearances by them other than the new Three Stooges pieces that they did.
Yeah, I did miss that.
If you missed that, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Did you see it, Movie Man?
Yes.
Yeah, Tim Conway was in it.
Yeah.
Martha Ray. It was really good.
And I looked it up afterwards on the Internet Movie Database, and it's actually a program called Danny Thomas Meets the Comics.
Yes. Yeah, it was like a special, I think. And
yes. And it also had an appearance by Bill Cosby in it during his stand-up days.
Ooh. Yeah, it's too bad I didn't have the whole thing. That would have been interesting to watch as well. The very young Bill Cosby in 1965. That's about the time he first started releasing albums, no?
Oh, that would have been the first time of the first album about then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, one of those albums that he did, Bill Cosby did, was recorded up in Cleveland.
Really? I did not know that.
I have a friend who was in the audience when, after the show was over, they announced that show recording was going to be on record. And I'm not sure, but I have a friend that was there. I'll have to send him a note and find out which album that was. But that was recorded. One of his albums, all the audio for that and all the crowd and everything was recorded right in Cleveland.
I'll be darned. Cleveland, the heart of it all. We're a plum. if you like the Three Stooges, fellas, gentlemen, And you have a chance to block out some time on Saturday. We're going to have a four-hour, possibly five, if I can find a little bit more material, a four-hour special on the Three Stooges, including a full-length movie. I think you'll find it entertaining. There's a short film with Shemp by himself. There's some things you may have seen before, you know, on like the like some of the old television appearances in the 50s, including the pilot film that they tried to do with Shemp shortly after Curly left, you know, the Three Stooges, but just possibly prior to his passing. There's going to be a lot of good surprises in there. So if you really like the Three Stooges, you don't want to miss that. It'll be part of our Saturday morning, maybe into early afternoon lineup. So that's next week on Erie House Television.
Fabulous.
Fabulous.
I'll be there.
I know you will, movie man. So, favorite film with Gene Wilder. Start with you, movie man. What would you think is your favorite with Gene Wilder?
Well, of course, Willy Wonka. But whenever I was younger, like around 1977, I used to watch Silver Streak all the time. And,
how about you, David?
You know, Willy Wonka certainly comes to mind first. I really enjoyed Stir Crazy, though. I thought that was a fabulous film. And, of course, there in a close third, because they're all a first, close, second, third, would be Blazing Saddles. But when you realize how much Gene wasn't really in it, I mean, there was so much going on in that film. The Gene was not the major focal point of that. I would still call it a Wilder film, but there was so many more things. And technically, I think almost Slim Pickens almost had a bigger role than Gene Wilder did in that film. So I loved him in that film, but if you're looking at Gene Wilder films, it'd have to be between Willy Wonka, which was just captivating, and Stir Crazy that he did with Richard Pryor.
I agree that Willy Wonka comes first to mind, but my personal favorite is Frisco Kid. He gets a lot of camera time.
Yes, so I that is on my agenda.
Yeah, he gets a lot of camera time on that. He's definitely a main focus character, both him and Harrison Ford, and what an unusual mix, but pulled off so well in that film. I like, you
never
know,
I've always
liked the Jewish comics.
out of the Borscht Belt there.
Yes, and he is one of my faves. Although he never really wanted to be known as a comic, really, I don't think. He was just an actor who could play comedy very well.
He thought he was an actor who could do comedy, but never considered himself a comic.
Yeah. Well, you never really saw him doing stand-up or anything like that, you know what I mean? And I think he's on the mark there, because being a good actor means being able to work with what you're given. And he certainly could.
I think that, you know, just like I think Jack Benny was a great comedic actor. He wasn't a comedian. He didn't stand up and tell jokes, really.
He
people work around him.
He did some pretty good monologues on his TV show and his radio show.
He did do some good monologues. Yes, he did. You're correct there.
But again, he had good writers, too, so it's hard to say. Well, as we have a little less than a minute before they cut us off randomly here, I want to thank you, Movie Man, for calling in. Thank you, David, for supporting the show here. And I think we're because of the beloved characters he played, we're all going to miss Gene Wilder.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But like most movie characters, he gets to live on forever because we'll always have these films to enjoy. So thank
Absolutely.
You for a great career, Gene Wilder. Thank you, listeners, for listening to Eerie House Radio. Bye-bye.